questions that have remained unanswered for you until now. Yaron, what's it like for you here in Aruba?
Aruba, it's great. I mean, it's the place where I grew up. It's the place I love. It's, you know, it's a wonderful island.
Have people been treating you well here? I mean, what's been the impact of your arrest and your release, and now you're off in school?
No, everyone here is always treating me well. I mean, everybody knows what's going on, probably more than the people in the States do, and everyone's here is always treating me with respect and treating me right.
So when you walk down the street, people say things to you here?
Well, of course, it's not fun that everyone on the street notices you. I mean, you want to just be able to walk and no one notice you and for it to be normal, but I can't change anything about that now. It's like that already, so I just, you know, try and adapt to it and do the best I can to that.
Has Aruba been affected by Natalie's disappearance?
I think it has been affected by a lot, and that's one thing that hurts me a lot. I mean, the Aruban people did everything to try and solve this case. They sent F-16 jets from Holland over to take pictures. They've interrogated I don't know how many people. They have dive teams from all over the world have come to dive into the oceans and look in the oceans. They sent the whole Marines to search the entire island. I mean, the Aruban government even gave all the people that work for the government a day off to go search the island. I mean, a lot has been done, and everyone just wants to get this case solved and get it done with. That's what everybody wants.
Is that what you want?
Of course that's what I want. That's the one thing that will clear me, and that's the one thing that will clear anyone else involved with it that doesn't deserve to be.
Why did you agree to talk to us?
I agreed to talk to you because I thought it was important to hear another side of the story as well. I look at it in one way that, you know, there's one side of the story, there's another side of the story, and then there's the truth. And now I'm telling you the truth and everything that happened, and not just one side from the story. I'm not gonna tell you I'm a good person. I'm not gonna tell you that I'm an angel or that I've done good things. No, because it's not like that. But I'm here to tell the truth and to let people know what happened and exactly what went on.
How old are you?
I'm 18 now.
What's the impact been on you?
Well, I mean, I was arrested at 17. I always felt myself that I was a lot older, but that's what I've always felt for myself. But I mean, of course, it's had a lot of impact on me too. I spent 90 days in jail. It's had a lot of impact on everyone, on my family, on Aruba. It's had impact on everyone I love.
What impact on your mother and father? Is there a way to describe it?
There's no way to describe that. That's the worst thing there is. I mean, for me to see my mom and my dad, that's horrible. I mean, they didn't deserve any of this. It was my fault that they were brought into this, and it's part of their life too now. And there's nothing I can do to make that better towards them. But that's horrible for them.
Have you watched Beth Holloway Twitty on TV at all, or do you think about the impact on her and her family?
I mean, I've seen so much stuff on TV and on the internet, and I mean, like I've always said from the beginning, I don't hold any grudges against her at all or her family at all, because if they, if I were in their position, and there was some kid that was with someone. That they go towards me and blame me is something I can understand. But to go towards my family and my friends and Aruba and everyone I love, that's something that really hurts me.
Take me back to May 29. Do you remember when you first saw Natalie?
I remember when I first saw her. I went there. I went to the casino, the Excelsior Casino at the Holiday Inn, to play a free poker tournament. I remember walking in there and sitting at playing a poker tournament. Then afterwards, when I was done, going to a blackjack table and sitting down. And I remember her and her friends coming up to the table. They sat down. They wanted to play blackjack. I didn't even notice Natalie from that beginning, from that morning. I didn't even pay any attention to her. There was a friend of hers that was sitting next to me that said she'd lost. She'd lost $100 or $120 of her father's money, and she wanted to win it back. And I said, you know what, I'll help you try and win back your money. I'll tell you when to hit and when to stay. And that's what I did. You know, we were just talking socially. It was just talking, nothing else involved. And then they ended up asking me they ended up telling me it was their last night, and asked if I wanted to go to Carlson Charlie's.
Had you been to Carlson Charlie's before? You know the place?
Yeah, I know the place. I went there on weekends a lot. It's just it's a place where, you know, it's a fun place. It's a place where people go and hang out and have fun. I mean,
you say free poker game. What does that mean for those who don't know what that is here?
It's a tournament, you know, poker, Texas Hold'em poker. They just have tournaments here that people play, and at the end, if you win a tournament, you win money.
Were you there earlier with your father that day, or had he left, or?
My father doesn't like casinos at all. He doesn't want me playing in casinos at all either. But I convinced him to come that day to the casino and play that tournament because it was a free tournament. I said, you have the chance. If I want you to come with me and. You can just play one time and see how it is. So you see, you know, I go play too, because it's just a social thing. It was a fun thing to do. And so my dad had come with me, and halfway through because my mom at the time was in Holland, halfway through he had to go back home to my little brother because he was home alone. And I took his place then at the poker tournament because I'd lost earlier. So I went in and I took his place and I played for him.
So you were there alone. You didn't. Later on, you caught up with Satish and Deepak. But at that point, you were there alone playing.
Yeah, cards. I was there alone. I was there alone playing cards.
Anything catch your attention about Natalie or friends? Anything you recall?
I mean, no, nothing. Nothing catch my attention. They seemed like normal girls. I mean, I talked to them. I talked to them normally. I mean, nothing of them was out of the ordinary at all.
Interested in any of them at the poker tables?
Interested? No, not really. I was more talking. The girl that was sitting next to me, I thought she was pretty, and I was talking to her. And when the point was for going to Carlson Charlie's was I wanted to actually meet up with her.
Do you remember her name?
I didn't remember it, but I remember it now because I heard it afterwards. I think her name was Kathleen.
So about what time did you leave the blackjack table first, or did the young women, the girls from Mountain Brook, leave the table first?
Kathleen was sitting next to me, when she'd won about $100, me and her friends convinced her to go cash the money, so that's when they went to go cash, their chips.
So did they all leave together, so like a herd of girls, do you remember?
Yeah, I think they left in a group, they all stayed together. I remember afterwards going into, right behind that casino was a little bar, and I remember walking in there, and there was a baseball game on TV, and the group of girls was sitting there, and they said, oh yeah, don't forget to come out tonight, and I told them that on Sunday it wasn't a good night to go out, it wasn't fun, but they said, you know, if you want to come, and I ended up deciding that, yeah, I might as well go and have fun.
Were you drinking at that point?
No, at that point I wasn't drinking. I had a drink during the poker tournament, but at that point I hadn't taken a drink. They were drinking, however.
Could you feel the effect of that one drink at that point?
No, not at all.
And were they acting like they had been drinking quite liberally and freely? Could you tell whether they were?
I mean, they were drinking liberally and freely, but I mean, I think they had every right to. I mean, they graduated, they just finished their high school, you know, they just finished their high school, and I think they had every right to, and, you know, and celebrate their graduation. I mean, they worked for that their whole life, and I've met tons of people that do the same thing, and I mean, one problem I might have seen with it is the drinking age in the United States is 21, and the drinking age in Aruba is 18, and I've met a lot of people that when they're, whose parents don't let them drink or do anything like that, and when they, you know, when they come to Aruba and they get a chance to drink, they go overboard, and that's something that's bad, something that shouldn't happen.
Coming up, did Yaron's father know he was partying at Carlson Charlie?
The NCAA says 99 teams at 65 schools are not making the grade, including Texas, Tennessee, and West Virginia. They could lose scholarships because the teams don't meet new academic standards. But don't expect any high-profile football or men's basketball teams to be slapped. Among the biggest conferences in those sports, DePaul's men's hoops.
John Vandersloot says he first met Natalie Holloway and her friends at the Holiday Inn Excelsior Casino. Their paths crossed again later that night, and here's more of our unedited interview with Yaron. About what time did you walk out of the Holiday Inn Casino for the evening?
I don't remember exactly what time it was.
Can you give me an estimate?
It was probably 10, I think. 9, 10.
And they were already gone at that point, remember?
Yeah, they were sitting at in a bar behind the casino.
And where did you go when you left the casino?
And I called another friend of mine and asked him if he wanted to go out. And he said he had to work the next day, so he couldn't go out. And at that point, I called my dad and asked him if he could pick me up. And he said he'd pick me up at the McDonald's. So I walked over to the McDonald's where he picked me up and took me home.
So it's a cell phone call to your house?
Yeah, cell phone call to my house.
Any reason why the McDonald's? Did you get something to eat?
Yeah, because I wanted to get something to eat too. I hadn't eaten anything, so I got something to eat at the McDonald's.
How far is the walk from Holiday Inn to McDonald's about?
5 minutes, probably.
So we got to the McDonald's. Was your father already there, or did you wait for him?
No, he wasn't there yet. I got something to eat, and while I was eating it, he arrived.
Any idea what time he arrived?
No, probably 10 minutes after I called him, 20 minutes after I called him.
At the point we called him, were you intending to go to Carl's and Charlie's at that point, and you made up your mind?
Yeah, I'd made up my mind that I was going to go there. And I'd also made up my mind that I wasn't going to tell him that I was going to go there, because I know he would have said no. He would have said that I couldn't go. So I'd made up my own mind that I was going to go out without him knowing.
How were you going to do that? Did you, at that point, had you called anybody else besides the one friend who turned you down?
Yeah, then walking, when I kept walking, I called Deepak and I asked him if he wanted to go out, and he said sure, sure I'd like to go out. I don't have to work the next day till 3 p.m, so of course.
How old is Deepak? How much older is he than you are?
Deepak's 21.
How do you know him?
I met him a long time ago through a friend of mine, and and since then we've been friends, never best friends or anything like that, but, you know, we hung out together, and sometimes we went out together and stuff like that.
What's a long time ago to you? In terms of you're only 17 at this point, so
that.
What's a long time ago?
From that point, that day, I think 3 months earlier, 2 months earlier, I'd met him.
So he's a friend of 3 months?
Yeah, 3 or 4 months, yeah.
Did you know Satish at that point?
No, I met Deepak first, and then I met Satish.
But you knew Satish before that night?
Before that night, I'd met him before, yeah.
Where did you ever gone with Deepak? I mean, what kind of stuff did you guys do? How well do you know him?
We hung out together sometimes. We'd go out to Carl's and Charlie's together sometimes, but I don't know him that well.
Did he go to school?
He didn't go to school.
So he wasn't a classmate?
No, he wasn't a classmate.
And neither was Satish?
No.
Do you know where they went to school?
Yeah, they went to a local school, and I went to the international school here.
Did Deepak had a job at, when this was a year ago, where was he working?
He was working at an internet cafe.
Had you ever called him sort of late at night or 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night before and said, let's go out?
Yeah, I'd done that before, you know, because I don't have a car, didn't have a driver's license, and I'm not allowed to drive. So if I want to go out, I'm dependent on friends that, you know, that have a car. So I'd give him a call sometimes, or another friend of mine, you know, like, let's go out.
Coming up, Yaron says Natalie Holloway hadn't really caught his eye that day, so who made the first move?
She came down off the stage and grabbed me by my hand and said, come with me.
Vandersloot, who remains a suspect in the case, and talked to him about the night Natalie disappeared. What's the driving age here?
The driving age is 18.
So did any of your classmates, I take it your classmates at the international school didn't have driver's license?
No, a couple kids in my class, one because I was with senior year, a couple kids of them had a driver's license, but not all of them, no.
So when you're walking from the Holiday Inn to the McDonald's, you make the phone call, Deepak says he'll go out. Did you make sort of the plans how you're going to, you know, where he's going to pick you up because you didn't want your father to know?
Mm-mm. No, I have an apartment at my house, so it's like away, kind of away from the house. And I called him, and he just came into my room with his brother. I didn't know at that point his brother was coming with him, but he came at that point in my room with his brother, and I was just printing out some work for school the next day that I had to hand in, and I just finished that up, so I came into my room, and then they were there,
So they came through the gate. I mean, they actually
came through
the gate.
Yeah, they just walked through my gate and went into my room.
They didn't drive through the gate, so your father wouldn't have noticed that.
No, no, no. Whenever friends come by, they park their car right outside the house.
So about what time do you think, or estimate, that they arrived at your house?
Probably, I don't know, 11:45 or 12.
How far away does Deepak live from you?
About 20 minutes, I think.
By car. By car. From your house, if you can drive from your house to Carlos and Charlie's, about how long does that take?
About 15 minutes, I think.
Did you tell Deepak that night that you'd met these...
Yeah, I told him that's exactly what I told him. I told him I met a couple girls, and they asked if I wanted to go out. So that's what I plan to do.
Tell them anything else about the girls, whether or not they thought they'd be fun or they'd be something that Deepak might want to hook up with or Satish might want to...
No, not at all.
No details?
No details.
When they picked you up, did you go straight from your home to Carlos and Charlie's?
When they picked us, we went straight to Carlos and Charlie's.
When you arrived at Carlos and Charlie's, any idea about what time it is?
It was probably 12:15, I think. 12:30, maybe.
How late does it stay open?
That night it was open till 1 a.m.
Is that usual? I mean, every
during weekdays it's open till 1 a.m. Yeah.
And were the girls from Mountain Brook already there?
They were already there. When I walked in, I saw one of them on the left-hand side, and she just said hi, and I said hi back, and then I walked in with them, and was gonna go to the bar with them and get a drink, and that's when I walked in, I saw Natalie was standing on the dance floor. She was dancing, and she screamed at me to go dance with her. She was dancing on the stage. There was like a podium there.
Did she know your name? She knew you well enough to know your name at that point?
No, I don't think she knew my name. She just screamed to me to go dance with her, and at that point I didn't. I went to go get a drink with Deepak and Satish.
The one that you sat next to that you thought was attractive at the casino, did you see her there?
No, I saw one of her friends there.
So she never appeared any place that you remember that night?
No, maybe that I did see her, but I don't think I spoke to her.
We went up to the bar and got a drink. What were you drinking?
A yard is a drink you can get there, and that's what we got.
So it's drink number two, separated by several hours.
Yeah.
Okay. What happened next with the...
We walked down again to the stage, and we were just looking at people. The people were dancing on stage, and then again she said to me that she told me to go dance with her, and I said no.
Yes.
Sometimes, yeah, but not really dancing.
Okay.
Really, not really a dancing person. And then she came down off the stage and grabbed me by my hand and said, "Come with me." And she took me to the bar, which is on the left-hand side. And she jumped on the bar, so sitting on the bar.
Sitting or lying down?
I'm sitting first, and then she said, you're going to take a jelly shot off me.
What is that?
It's just something, a jelly shot is what you put on your belly button, or a body shot, I mean. And then you take it off.
What was that? What were you drinking then in the shot? Do you remember?
I don't have no clue what it is.
Is there a way to describe her? I mean, whether she seemed or appeared to be, drinking. She seemed to be drunk.
She'd been drinking, but she wasn't drunk. I mean, she knew what she was doing, and all the people there were drinking as well. I mean, it's normal when you go out and to have a drink with your friends.
Any interest in her at that point?
At that point, when she got my hand and took me to the bar, yeah.
So what happened next?
So next, she said, okay, so let's take another shot, is what she told me. So she wanted to take a shot with me, but it was probably close to 1 a.m. there then, and the bar was closing. So I said, okay, well, we can go to the other bar. And then I asked her, what do you want to drink? And she's like, whatever. So she said, yeah. She said, what do you suggest? And I said, Bacardi 151, because that's a shot I did that.
What was that? What were you drinking then in the shot? Do you remember?
I don't have no clue what it is.
Is there a way to describe her? I mean, whether she seemed or appeared to be, drinking. She seemed to be drunk.
She'd been drinking, but she wasn't drunk. I mean, she knew what she was doing, and all the people there were drinking as well. I mean, it's normal when you go out and to have a drink with your friends.
Any interest in her at that point?
At that point, when she got my hand and took me to the bar, yeah.
So what happened next?
So next, she said, okay, so let's take another shot, is what she told me. So she wanted to take a shot with me, but it was probably close to 1 a.m. there. then, and that bar was closing. So I said, okay, well, we can go to the other bar. And then I asked her, what do you want to drink? And she's like, whatever. So she said, yeah, she said, what do you suggest? And I said, Bacardi 151, because that's a shot I normally take with my friends. And we took a shot together. And after that, we just were talking a while. I saw Satish, and Satish said, let's go. And then DiPaco, I don't know where he was. I didn't see him in Carson Charlie's after that.
How old is Satish at this point?
How old is
he? Yeah, how old is he then at this night?
I think he was 18 or 19, I don't know.
So he's an adult too. I mean, legally can drink, Satish can.
Yeah.
Was he drinking?
The only drink I seen him see was that one drink we got together.
Could you feel the alcohol at this point?
No, no.
Did, at any time throughout the night, could you feel the alcohol at all that you
no.
drink? How tall are you?
Probably 6'4 or 6'3.
How much do you weigh?
220, I think.
Okay, so you're big.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next up on the record.
If I had a big house or not. And then she said, I said, so you want to see my house? And she's like, yeah.
Ron and Natalie left the bar, but where did they go and why? But what happened when the bar closed? At what point did you leave Carlos and Charlie's?
When it was closing, when everyone started leaving, and you saw all the groups of people leaving.
Were they throwing you around, turning the lights on and off?
Oh, no,
what
no,
was
no,
the
no.
sign that
no,
it was time
it was
to
just,
go?
Yeah, it was just they turn off the music and they turn off everything, and it was just time to go, yeah.
Had you made any agreement or arrangement with Natalie at that point to leave with her?
No, not at all. That came very spontaneously. She's like, okay, you want me to go with you? And I was like, okay. And I saw her go up to some of her friends. I don't know what she said to them. And then we ended up leaving. The point was to go to my house.
Any other conversation with her before you left Carlos Charles? Remember anything that you guys talked about, said, or anything?
Not really. It was more like, not just normal, casual talk.
Did she say where she was from, for instance, or
yeah,
anything?
Yeah, she said that she was from Alabama, and she said she wanted to become a doctor. And, yeah.
Did she ask you about anything. Yourself? About
Yeah, she asked me about myself, too.
What did you tell her?
I told her I was 19, when I was actually 17, but, yeah.
Did you say were your plans or anything like that, what you wanted to do? I mean, was there that much of a dialogue between you?
Not really. I mean, I never really got to actually know her. I really didn't actually ever get to know her like, a friend or, someone like that. It was just a casual talk, getting to know a little about each other, and that's all it was.
Was it the kind of bar situation where it's loud, you're talking over loud music, or could you have a conversation?
It was loud music, but you could have a conversation.
So what time do you think you stepped foot out of Carlos and Charlie's?
Probably 1 a.m.
Did you walk? You walked out with Natalie?
Yeah, I walked out with her.
She had your hand, or you had her hand?
We had each other's hand, and Satish was there as well with us.
Where was Deepak?
He was waiting at his car.
Any reason why he went out ahead?
I don't know. You have to ask him that.
Is he sort of a guy who enjoys the bar scene?
I don't know. Again, you have to ask him that. I mean,
how about the girls? They like him?
I don't know. You have to ask him that.
But when you were out with him or something, did he talk to them? Was he friendly?
No, he didn't talk to them. He didn't really talk to any of them.
How about Satish? Did he?
No.
How far was the car parked from Carlos and Charles?
It's was parked right behind it.
So Deepak's at the car. Satish is in front of you?
Satish was with us.
With you. And then you and Natalie, holding hands, walked to the car.
Yeah.
Any discussion between Carlos and Charlie's and the car between you and Satish, or you and Natalie?
No, just between me and Natalie, because we were speaking English to each other. And I asked her if she wanted to go back to her hotel, and that's what she said that she wanted to. I said, so you want to see my house? And she's like, yeah, so I wanted to go to your house.
Right, so the plan, I assume, was that, you were interested in her, I assume, correct me if I'm wrong, that you would take her back and have some sort of relationship with her at that point. Ever talk about it, about whether you're going to have sex or anything like that?
No, not actually talk about it, no, but not like she said, no, you really want to have sex, no, it wasn't anything like that.
That was your intention and you were hopeful that was her intention?
Mm-hmm.
Did she ever say anything at all sexual to you at that point, walking to the car, any hints, anything?
No, it was just we were holding hands and we walked to the car.
When you got to the car, who drove?
It was Deepak driving the car.
It's his car?
It's his car.
He likes his car?
I think so.
I hear that they paid a lot of attention to his car.
Yeah, I think so too.
Does he let Satish drive it?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, Satish drives it sometimes.
What kind of car is it?
It's a Honda Civic, a gray one.
Had you driven in it before?
No, no.
You've never been in his car before?
Oh, driven with him, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But then driven it myself, no.
Okay, but you've been in the car. Coming up on the record. Your intention at that point, to have sex with her? More of our raw, Hi, Natalie disappeared. So you leave Carlos and Charlie's, and your intention was to head to your house. Did you actually head to your house?
Yeah, we did. We actually did end up heading to my house, because that's what she was, that's what she wanted to, so I was fine with it. And during the car ride, she had her hand on my leg, and I had my hand on her leg, and we were both in the back. We were kissing each other, and so I took every hand in a positive, not in a bad way.
Did you ever actually make it to your house?
Yeah, we did. We actually did stop in front of my house. We got to my house, and then she said she wanted to go see sharks.
Why sharks?
I have no idea why she wanted to go see sharks, and so I was laughing, telling her there's no sharks.
Did you actually go into your house with her?
No, never. We never even got out of the car there.
She had no interest in going into your house? Didn't say anything?
No, at that point she wanted to go see sharks, is what she said. And then she came with a strange story that her mom was Hitler's sister or Hitler's sister's daughter, and she was sorry to me for that because I don't know if she thought I was German or something, and I'm like, I'm Dutch, so I don't really care about anything like that. And I asked her, you're joking, right? And she's like, no, I'm serious. And just another example of that is, that's a strange story. That makes absolutely no sense. Why would you say something like that if it's not true? But there's actually police reports of one of her friends that says she told her the same thing.
Now, the whole time you're in the car, driving from Carlos and Charlie's, stopping for a short time at your house, and talking to Natalie, did Deepak and Satish join in the conversation? Are they talking?
Not really. We had music on. There was one remark she did make, she told me, she asked me if they were my slaves, because they were driving around. But Deepak and Satish never ended up hearing that. I told them that afterwards. Because she said, yeah, in Alabama, we consider black people slaves.
All right, so you drive from your house, and where's the next point you stop the car?
The next point we stopped the car was at the beach where we ended up going to. We were driving, the point was to drive to our hotel then. But we drove right by that, and she said, yeah, because she didn't want to go to her hotel. She wanted to go see sharks.
About how long did it take from the point of your house to drive to the beach?
That probably takes 5 minutes.
Did you drive past her hotel at that point, or just drive right to the beach?
No, we drive past her hotel, and then took the road right next to her hotel.
And so when you go to the beach, you then move down to the Marriott. Is that right? You went farther north to the Marriott. Had you ever been to the Marriott Beach before?
Yeah, well, tons of times, lots of times.
You've even, as a kid, you played soccer there, right?
I played soccer on the beach there. I went with my friends to the beach there. I've been there probably 1,000 times.
Why that beach? I mean, there's an awful lot of beaches in this on this island. Why that beach?
Yeah, because we're driving towards our hotel. That's just, and that was just the one place I wanted to get out.
Had you ever been to the beach before with Deepak and Satish?
With them alone, no.
So where did you park?
If you drive by right by the last Marriott Hotel, you took a left, and you can drive right to the end of the road there, and we stopped there, so you're basically still at the hotel. And that's where we got out of the car, and I told Deepak that I'll call you later to pick me up, and he said okay, and he left, and we walked on the beach, and there were people there, there were couples there on the beach as well. I mean, we walked by other couples. It's not that beach, it's a very busy beach. There's a lot of people there, even at nighttime.
On the beach, you weren't directly, you're a little bit north of Marriott, is that right? You call it the Marriott Beach, but you weren't directly in front of the hotel?
At that point, we were basically almost directly in front of the Marriott Hotel.
Did you cut through the hotel to the beach?
No, yeah, you didn't really cut, because you're right at all the right side of the Marriott Hotel, all the way at the right. So you didn't really cut through the hotel, but you were walking on the hotel property, where there's the beach chairs and all that stuff.
So Satish Deepak just dropped you off, and he indicated he was willing to come back and pick you up at some point?
Yeah.
He didn't mind, he wasn't going to go home and sleep for an hour and be annoyed by your call? He didn't indicate, don't wake me up or anything like that? No complaints at all?
No.
What was your intention at that point? To have sex with her?
That was my intention, yeah. That was my first intention.
And where did you think Deepak and Satish were going?
At home.
You thought they'd go all the way home and come back and get you?
Yeah, it's not that far of a drive.
Why would they do that for you?
I don't know. They're friends, I think.
Had they ever done that before for you?
No, but I don't have a car, so how else would I have gotten home? I mean, could have paid a taxi cab to gotten home, but no. They said he was fine with that. He said that's fine. He would pick me up and bring me home.
Coming up, Yaron van der Sloot admits he intended to have sex with Natalie Holloway that night, but did he? Yaron gives his side of the story next. The Kelpo brothers dropped Natalie and him at the beach, agreeing to come back later and pick them up. What happened on the beach could be the key to solving this mystery. So you got out of the car. Did you have sex with Natalie?
No.
How come?
Well, we got out the beach. We walked up. I took off my shoes. We walked to the ocean, and that's where we sat down as well. That's where I left my shoes, and then we started walking. And I asked her, you know, let's see, we can walk towards your hotel, and because there were a lot of people there too, and she wanted to walk the other way, so starting to go towards the lighthouse, and so we started walking in that direction, more towards the fisherman's hut, and. Yeah, we were holding hands, talking, kissing, just having a good time.
What, do you have any idea what time you actually got out of Deepak's car? Can you estimate that?
I can't say exactly when. I don't know exactly when. The only thing I can say for sure is when I was home, because that's, you know, that you said yourself to me that the most important thing is to look at facts. And, you know, those are facts that you can actually say what time you got home, by video footage, what time you left Carlos and Charlie's. Those are things you can actually, you know, actually really prove.
All right, well, let me jump ahead. What time did you get home, so we had this time frame?
It was 3:35, I think, or 3:25. I don't know. I had ABC look at the pieces there. Well, they had the pieces too, so that's
are you able to
sure.
Are you able to estimate how long you were on the beach with Natalie?
Yeah, it was probably an hour, maybe not even an hour.
So besides walking north in the direction away from the hotel, what else were you doing?
Nothing really, just holding hands and talking about it, yeah, everything.
What was her condition?
Yeah, she seemed like she had something to drink, but she seemed fine. You know, she knew what she was doing.
What did you guys talk about?
Yeah, we talked about, she said about that she was going to her school, and she didn't want to leave Aruba because she loved it so much. She thought it was the best place in the world. And that's the stuff we talked about.
What kind of stuff were you saying?
Yeah, I told her that I lied to her that at 19. I said that I was going to go study in the States at St. Leo University, and you know, we were just having casual talking about stuff.
So you never had intercourse, right?
No, never.
How come? I mean, if that was your intention, and
well, I mean, when it actually at the point that it did get down to that, I didn't have a condom with me, and I've heard people say, oh, that's strange, oh, that makes absolutely no sense. Any 18-year-old or 17-year-old then, when he doesn't have a condom, would have sex anyway. And I mean, that's the truth, though. I didn't have a condom with me, and that's why I didn't have sex with her, because I won't have sex with a girl without a condom. I mean, I've never done that before, and I'm never going to do that either. That's just something that I've always kept myself to. That's important for me too.
Did you discuss that with her at all?
Yeah, that's what I told her then, that I wouldn't have sex, that I didn't have a condom, and I wouldn't have sex without a condom. I usually have one in my wallet. I always carry one with me in my wallet, and I didn't have one with me then.
And what was her reaction to all this?
Yeah, she understood that, and she didn't want to do it without a condom either.
So, but there was some sort of, we had some sort of sexual contact at some point. Is that right?
Yeah.
Was that in the car, or is that on the beach?
That was on the beach, too.
And at this point, Satish and Deepak, they're long gone in the car.
Yeah.
Other people walking on the beach?
Yeah, there was, on the time that I was started walking the other direction, there was only one couple that walked back. And because most of them were at the actual Marriott hotel, that period there was only one couple that actually walked by.
Coming up, Yaron van der Sloot says he left Natalie alone on the beach that night, walking on the beach. What happened at the end of the night? What was it that was the sort of the, why did you leave? I mean, what happened? Did the conversation end, or how did you happen to leave?
Leave
the beach. When at some point you and Natalie separated, according to you, is that right? How did that come about?
Well, I mean, I had to go to school the next day. I was close to my exams, so I had to do my final exams. And, you know, the bus was picking me up at 6:40 a.m. I mean, I had to go home, and I didn't want my dad to go into my room and see I'm not there or anything like that. So, I mean, I had to go home. So, yeah, at one point I told her, you know, it's time to go back to your hotel. And she was just like, no, let's stay here. Let's look at the stars. She was just saying, you know, stay here with me. Just stay here with me the whole night. Tomorrow I have to go back anyway. And, you know, that's what we were talking about.
And what did you say? I mean, how does the conversation go back and forth between the two of you on this?
Yeah, so she was asking me to stay, and I told her I really had to go. So, you know, for me to bring her back to her hotel. And then I said at the end, I said, okay, well, I'm going to call Deepak to come pick me up. And yeah, so I walked right there. There's the fisherman's huts. There's a little, because there's a lot of wind there on the beach, so I walked right next to that, and that's where I called him from. And I asked him to come pick me up. Then it was his brother that came to pick me up, but I asked him to come pick me up.
Do you know where? So you actually called him and reached him on your cell phone?
Yeah, on his cell phone.
And said, come pick me up, and what'd he say?
And he said, yeah, okay, sure. He said he was on his computer talking to friends.
So about how much later did Satish show up driving his car?
Probably 15 minutes later, 10 minutes later.
Deepak wasn't there. Wasn't
no.
in the car.
No, wasn't in the car.
Do you see Deepak at all again that night?
No. No, not till the next day that night.
Did Satish pick you up in his car or his mother's car?
In Deepak's car.
So it's the same car that dropped you off?
Yeah.
Did you say, where's Deepak?
Yeah, that was the first reaction when I came there. I walked over, I sat in the car, and I was like, you know, where's Deepak? He said, oh, he's at home on his computer. And that's when I told him, you know, the girl's still on the beach, and, you know, she wanted me to stay there with her. And it's, you know, I want to go home, but what do you do? And he reacted like, you know, okay, yeah, let's go, you know, let's go fast, and let's leave. You know, like, you know, not really caring about her, let's just go and leave her there. And I was like, oh, okay, so let's go. So we really went without even saying goodbye to her, without even really telling her at that point that we were going to go.
There's much more of our interview with Jeroen van der Sloot tomorrow night. Jeroen tells us why he... where things got physical, but they did not have sexual intercourse. When Jeroen wanted to go home, he says he called Deepak to come get him, but Jeroen claims it was actually his brother Satish who picked him up.
I told him, you know, the girl's still on the beach, and, you know, she wanted me to stay there with her. And it's, you know, I want to go home, but what do you do? And he reacted like, you know, okay, yeah, let's go, you know, let's go fast.
According to Jeroen, that's exactly what they did, and he never saw Natalie again. Now here's part two of our unedited deposition style interview. Did Satish ever get out of the car when he picked you up?
No, never. He stayed behind the wheel the whole time.
Did you point in the general area where Natalie was?
Yeah, I said that we were right there, and he said, yeah, screw it, let's go home.
So about how far away was Natalie at that point from the car when Satish picked you up?
Probably 300 yards.
So about 900 feet. I mean,
yeah.
Quite a distance, I mean, at least. I mean,
I don't know, he couldn't see her. I don't know if it was that far, actually, because you have a road that goes there along with the beach where he drove by, and his car is kind of fixed up, and, you know, his muffler from his car is really loud. So, yeah, it made a lot of noise. So that's the first thing I heard when he came with his car. That's the first thing I heard was the muffler from the car making sounds. I knew he was coming.
So when you were with Natalie, you were actually with Natalie when you heard the sound of the muffler?
Yeah.
What did you say to Natalie at that point?
And at that point, I was with her still at the beach, and I told her that I had to take her back to her hotel. And she really had to go back to her hotel because I really had to go to school the next day. And she was just like, she thought that I would stay there with her. And that's probably what I should have done. That's the one thing that I did wrong, you know, to leave her there without actually saying I was going to leave her there. And it's just
you left without your shoes. How do you explain that?
Yeah, we walked onto the beach in the beginning, and where we sat down there then. I'd taken off my shoes, and because when you walk in, it was actually exact same shoes that I'm wearing now.
Same kind? Or no, those aren't the shoes?
No, those aren't the shoes, but those are the exact same kind, the same size too. And no, and so when I was on the beach, I'd taken them off there, not to get sand into them, and that's where, you know, where we started walking the other way. I always thought we'd go back, and that's where I'd left my shoes. And then the point in the car when we said, you know, we're gonna leave, I didn't, yeah, we just left, and then I didn't really care about my shoes anymore.
You hadn't realized that you, I mean, in order to, I mean, to walk that 900 feet, it's, you're walking through the sand and a little bit on pavement where the car is, right?
No, it's just sand, and then it comes right to the pavement. So no, I knew I didn't have my shoes with me. That's
obvious. Didn't bother you?
I know, but it didn't bother me. I mean, when he said I wasn't planning on leaving right away, it was that action that took place there that we're like, okay, you know, let's go, and then that's when we left.
You didn't say to Satish, look, I gotta go get my shoes?
No, that's what. Of course, I should have, but no.
Did Natalie take off her shoes?
I don't remember. I think she had sandals on. I don't know. I think she was wearing. Yeah, she did. She left her sandals there, too.
Did she walk in the water with you?
Oh, we didn't walk in the water. We walked on the beach the whole time.
Okay, so we took off because you want to get sand in, not because you didn't want to get them wet.
Because I don't want to get sand in them.
And so it wasn't the least bit peculiar to you that you left the shoes behind and got in the car?
Of course it was peculiar, but I mean, it wasn't like I didn't really care about them. At that point, it was more about the conversation moment, like, you know, let's go, because he was like, yeah, you know, screw her, let's go home. And yeah, I knew if I would have gone back, she would have been like, again, let's go back, let's stay here, blah, blah, blah. And at that point, when I'd called him between that, there was actually a point where I'd picked her up to, you know, in a joking way, like, I'm going to take you back to your hotel if you don't want to go back. And she said, no, put me down. And so I put her down again, and I was just talking to her, and yeah, I explained to her why I had to go home, and she was just, please stay with me till the next day.
Did you think it was unusual that Deepak didn't come back and pick you up?
No, not really, because he told me he was on his computer.
What was the, there was a discrepancy at some point. I mean, there have been a lot of reports, it's sort of hard to figure out what is and what isn't, that at one point you said Deepak gave you a ride home, and then it changed to Satish. Can you explain that, or is there not a discrepancy?
No, there is a discrepancy there, and I did at one point say that that Deepak took me home, but that was at more of a point from, we'd always said when we were at our house talking that we'd keep Tisha's little brother out of it as much as possible, when we'd actually made up the story to say that we dropped her off at the Holiday Inn.
Why did you want to keep Satish out of it?
I didn't want to. That's what Deepak wanted. He said, yeah, you know, whatever, you keep, you know, we'll keep my little brother out of it. And that's what we agreed on.
So what, you got home about 3:30, is that right? Is that what you told me? 3:30 got home?
Yeah, something. I got home a little earlier, but that's when the message said you logged onto your computer, you know, and you went on your email and you went to the website you went to, and yeah, that's when all that is registered.
Was that computer to computer? Is that it wasn't text messaging to text messaging?
No, it was logging on to your MSN Messenger at home.
Did when you sent that message off to Deepak, did he respond?
When he did respond, and then I sent something back to him, and then he didn't respond back again after that.
But he responded by computer, not by some other handheld device or anything like that.
No, by computer. I did message him when I got home. I messaged him that I got home. And he said okay, and he messaged me back okay.
And then you said what? You sent him another message which said what?
No, that was on the computer afterwards. And then we were on the computer, and then I was just like, hey, what's up? I logged on there to the computer because I got home. I went into my kitchen to get something to eat and something to drink, and then I was, you know, then I was gonna go to sleep. And I just wanted to go online and check if any of my friends were online, if anyone to talk to, and yeah, that's when I typed something to him. He responded once, I typed something back, and he didn't respond, and then I went offline.
Did your computer indicate he was still online when you sent that second message?
No, I don't know. Okay.
You don't have that ability on your program, wasn't an instant message?
No, I think he was online, but that doesn't mean he necessarily was in front of his computer.
Right, but to say he was online, he may not be in front of the computer, but when you sent that second message back, you thought he was online, but he never responded.
Yeah, he was.
Okay. Did he ever respond to that second message?
No.
An hour, 2 hours, 3 hours later?
No, because then I turned off the computer and I'd gone to sleep.
Do you know, you have any idea what he did after he answered the first message? Did he ever tell you?
No. never really talked about that after that. I never got a chance to talk to any of my friends or any of them really after that.
So you don't know if he went to sleep or he got back in his car? You don't know?
No. I mean, I can't say anything that I don't know anything about.
So when was the next time you saw Deepak?
Was that the following night at 12 at night.
Where?
At the casino again. We went to another casino, the Radisson Casino. And again, we were playing a poker tournament that night as well.
Did he give you a ride, or did you meet him there? How would that work out?
No, he called me, he called me from his work, and he's like, where are you? And I said, I'm at the Radisson with some friends, because I was there with some friends playing poker. And he said, okay, I'm coming to you. And so then, yeah, he came there.
Had you ever hung out with him two nights in a row before?
Two nights in a row, never really, because he works a lot. And yeah.
When you met up with him on the night of the 29th, the night going into Natalie's disappearance, when was the most recent time before that that you'd spent time with him?
The most recent time before that?
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly when it was.
More than a week or 2 weeks, any idea?
No, it was probably a week.
But so this was so when he called you the second night, on the night of the 30th, to meet you at the Radisson, that was something different, the two nights in a row where you guys were together.
Sorry?
That was something different, that you guys were together two nights in a row, that he would call you the second night.
Yeah, I guess so. It wasn't really anything. He just called me that, asked me where I was, and I said I was at the Radisson, and that's where he came to. And then when we came there, and I just finished up, and then we were going to go to play blackjack at another casino. And so we went outside of the... We went out of the casino and stepped into his car there, and that's exactly when I got a phone call from my dad saying there's people here in front of their house looking for their daughter. The biggest mistake ever, probably the biggest mistake of my life. But I mean, at that point, it's just I wasn't thinking that, you know, you probably weren't thinking clearly, like something. You know, you're thinking, you know, something bad might have happened to her, you know. You're thinking clearly that you didn't want to have anything, you know, to do with any of that. You just wanted to get away from it, you know, as fast as possible.
Did Deepak say to you anything in the car, like, you know, what happened to her, where was she? Did he ask you questions at all?
No, not at all.
He had no questions of you about you and Natalie and where you'd been, what are you doing?
No, not one.
Do you think that, looking back at that, does that strike you as unusual or not?
I don't know.
No idea.
No.
So you arrive home, and now your father had gone to the Wyndham Hotel to look for you, is that right?
I think so.
Do you know why he went to the Wyndham and not the Radisson?
Because that's where the, I don't know, I think that's where we said we were, because that's where the car was parked.
So is the Wyndham next to the Radisson?
It's a couple of hotels farther up.
Okay.
Like, that's when we were driving, that's where the car was at the point that when they called us.
So when you arrive at home, you're there first, nobody else is there, then the van pulls up. When you're standing there, were you having any conversation with Deepak at all while you're waiting to figure out what's going on?
No, I mean, when we got there, it was basically the story came up, you know, all out of itself, you know. It was basically making up a lie, you know, as we go along, I mean.
So you hadn't made up the lie about the two black guys, her stumbling, had you made
up? I didn't make up any of that. I mean, when we were there, and they said, okay, well then let's go to the Holiday Inn, and you know, we got in the car with the police officers, and they went in the van, and we went there. I mean, that's, you know, it just, me and Deepak didn't get a chance to talk to each other at all about it, to actually make up, you know, a story. So it was basically making up as we go along. I mean, We got out, and then Deepak said, "Oh yeah, that there were two security guards there that saw her when she stepped out of the car, and that's what he told the police." And I was like, you know, that's what, now if you also look back at that, you're like, I mean, that's horrible. They got arrested and held for 10 days because of this. That's really, I mean, that's something that, you know, I can't forgive myself for either. When I was at the police cell in North, I had this, one of the guys was next to me, and you know, he was always happy, he was always singing and talking about his wife and his kid, and I was in the cell next to him, and I was talking to him too, you know, and it was really, you know, a nice guy, and you felt so guilty that it was your fault that, you know, he got arrested. That's something I only felt horrible for.
So the story with the two guards who got arrested, or security guards, that was Deepak's story, and you went along with it. Is that essentially right?
Yeah, but that's still not, you know, that doesn't mean anything. I just felt, you know, horrible that they got arrested too. I mean, at that point, you're, you know, only thinking about yourself, and then you're like, oh, yeah, now you can tell the truth. You're even more, you know, you're even more screwed. You're even more in trouble. So, you know, it was more like, you know, at that point you didn't really care about them. You're more caring about, you know, about yourself. And, you know, when I talked to that guy later on, when he was in the cell next to me, you know, I felt so bad because he was really, you know, a nice guy to talk to. He was always singing everyone else that was there. You know, he was keeping them happy and telling stories. He was really, a good guy. He was really a nice guy.
Was the story made up, just so I have the right idea, was that made up when you went back to the Holiday Inn? Is that when the story was made up? Is that when Deepak said that to the police?
Yeah.
But does he suspect that Deepak and Satish Kalpo do? Here's more of a raw, unedited interview with Yaron Vandersloot. So it was in the middle of the night, essentially, and you're all driving back to the Holiday Inn for you to point out where you last saw Natalie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it says that you say that Deepak murdered Natalie. Is that wrong?
No, that's not. I never said
that. Never said that.
I mean, no one, I mean, you're talking about it very, very openly now, and, you know, people don't know what it was like in those interrogations where they interrogate you from 8 in the morning till 8 at night. I mean, from 8 in the morning till 10 at night, and, you know, they scream at you, they put pictures in your face, they do everything. I mean, the police did everything to try and try and solve this case. They put us under, you know, so much pressure. I mean, they tell you, you know, remember Deepak and Satish are brothers. They're going to make up a story against you. And I mean, at some point you go, your mind goes so, you know, crazy that you just probably, you want to say, okay, I did something just so you can go back, you know, to your cell and sleep. Or it wasn't an easy time at all.
Well, I take it, I mean, you never said you did it in any of these declarations.
No,
okay,
no.
You never said that. Did you ever in any of these declarations say that Deepak did anything wrong?
No, I never said anything that they did anything wrong.
Never said anything?
Never.
Either one of them?
No.
Coming up on what was his role in the suspect's lie? And later, what does Yaron think about polygraph expert Jamie Skeeters? He has a strong opinion, and you're going to want to hear this.
He's vilified over his handling of Katrina, but was he right all along? We'll debate it. And then, are Bill and Hillary trying to have it both ways on this divide port issue? We'll get to the bottom of it. Stocks losing a little bit of ground, the Dow dropping 28 points. All that and some ex-strippers who found God, and now they're converting others. Tonight on Global News.
Yaron Vandersloot spent nearly 3 months behind bars while police interrogated him about Natalie Holloway's disappearance. What did he tell them, and did he ever say anything that pointed at his friends? Did the police ever say to you anything about Deepak and Satish?
No, I mean the police themselves. I think they always felt that we were guilty. I think, and I still think most of the police here do think that. And you know, they always put so much, you know, pressure on us, and you know, interrogating us for hours on the time, lying to you. I mean, coming into the room saying, okay, we found her body and your fingerprints on it. You know, you're screwed. Yeah, and I mean, at that point, all I could do is laugh because you know. It's just you don't have anything to do with that. I mean, the part you did wrong was leaving a girl on the beach and lying to the police. I mean, that's when you can't go back now and change all that. I can't go back and change any of that.
Now, did you ever tell the police anything about, or the interrogators, about Deepak or Satish, whether it be true or false? I mean, we can correct it here, but did you ever say anything about them?
I never said anything strictly. And bad about them? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, did you ever say anything at all to the police that either A is true or B is untrue now, so that we can sort of straighten out what was said in the interrogations and what was not?
At one point I even told the police that that Deepak and Satish dropped me off at my house, and that they are the one, and they left with Natalie alone.
That was false, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Of course, but I mean, at that, you know, you were like, the police was telling you, oh, yeah, Deepak and Satish are trying to make up a story against you. They're trying to get you, you know, they're trying to get you screwed. And, yeah, it's just,
Did you ever say anything back, though? Anything accusatory about
what... No, I never said that they... because I don't know. I mean, I know what it feels now to be accused of something you didn't
right.
do. And right now, I can't say that.
I understand that now. But I understand that now. But last summer when you were in custody, I understand that now that you feel that way. But when you were in custody last summer, was there anything that you said about them, whether it's true or false, that accused them?
That accused them just... No, well, I said that they dropped me off at my house. And that they drove away with the girl, which wasn't true.
Okay.
And, but to accuse them directly, no, I never said anything like that.
So you never said that Deepak assaulted her or anything like that?
No.
Never said that you thought it might have happened or anything like that?
No. I mean, a lot of things, the police talk to you a lot, and then off the record, too. I mean, they turn off the camera and, you know, they'd keep you in a room. Just like, it's a very... thin room there at the police station, and they'd come in the room and talk to you, and you know, they'd talk to you for a long time. They'd and they talked to you there off the record too. I mean, they even sent special interrogation people from Holland over to come and interrogate us.
What day were you released, or what, do you remember when it was when you were released?
I think it was the 4th of September.
Have you had any conversation with Deepak?
I haven't said one word.
Text
them.
Message?
Nothing.
Phone call?
Nothing. I haven't had any contact with them ever since then.
You're curious to talk with them?
No. I don't want to talk to them anymore.
Why?
Because, I mean, if you... I mean, the reason I was held there also for 90 days was that they wouldn't, you know... They didn't... At the end, they didn't come out with the true story either. They didn't say that he picked me up and he dropped me off at home.
Why do you think they didn't say that?
I don't know. I mean, it could be that... I mean, like I said, I'm not someone that right now... can go and accuse someone else because I lied myself. I mean, I can't go do anything like that. But it could be a reason that they you know, they just wanted to go home, because I had that same feeling too. I just wanted to go home and go to my family, and I just wanted to, you know, get on with my life. I mean, all that 90 days you spent there was, you know, it wasn't easy at all. It wasn't a fun, good time at all. And you just want to go home at some points like that. I mean, you know, you didn't do anything illegal. You know, you didn't do anything wrong. You just want to go home.
We don't know Deepak, and we don't know Satish. How do you describe each one of them?
I mean, yeah, they're nice guys too. I mean, from the times I spend with them, they're nice guys too. I mean, there's
unusual about them.
That I find unusual about them, no.
Are you suspicious in any way of either one of them?
I mean, at one point, I mean, of course, you start thinking, you know, why wouldn't someone say that they, you know, they drop you off at home. I mean, I was mad. I mean, I was really, you know, one time they put us together in the same room, and, you know, we were like, of course you get mad about that. You get, you know, frustrated, like, why won't you tell it? I mean, why won't you just come forward and tell the truth now? We always agreed that. That's what we agreed on. If something, you know, if it gets so far, we have to tell the truth. And then to not come out and tell the truth, I don't...
What did they say?
No, they didn't say anything, or they said that, yeah, we didn't pick you up.
But they wouldn't say that to the police?
They haven't told the police that, no.
Coming up, another arrest was released into the Natalie Holloway investigation. The two innocent security guards had been arrested and then released. Yaron Vandersloot and the Kelfel brothers were in jail. Then came a new development. Police arrested an Aruban DJ who worked on the party boat Tattoo. We sat down with Yaron Vandersloot and asked him about Steve Cruz. Do you know the DJ for the Tattoo, the party boat?
Yeah, that's another thing that, you know, we talked about that I wanted to talk to you about too. I mean, that's that guy.
You don't know this guy?
I don't know this guy, and I never talked to him before in my life.
Do you know if Deepak knows him?
I don't know if Deepak knew him. All that happened is one day he called me and he said, you know, I got the jackpot. And I was like, yeah, what happened? He's like, oh, don't worry, I'm gonna come to your house and tell you. And then he came to me and he said that someone had come up to him and said that he saw us, he'd seen us drop the girl off at the Holiday Inn. And if there was anything, he'd testify that to police, is what Deepak told me. So I was like, you know, okay, that's great.
So Deepak was adding to the lie, essentially, coming up with a corroboration of the lie, the Holiday Inn's lie.
Yeah, you know, he talked to the, I don't know what, I wasn't there when he talked to Steve Cruz. I don't know what went along with him, but, you know, he just talked to Deepak and he came, and then Steve Cruz ended up saying that he saw us dropping Natalie off at the Holiday Inn, and they talked for, they held him for 10 days too. I mean, that's not fun to be in jail at all. They talked to him for 10 days.
But he had lied. I mean, they'd caught him in that lie. Cruz.
Yeah, and by that time, we changed our declaration already. I mean, he'd lied, yeah.
So I take it that Deepak told you that between May 30th and June 9th, told you the story about the tattoo boat. Did you ask him how he knew the guy?
No, he told me he didn't know the guy.
The guy just spontaneously came up to him?
Yeah, at work. That's what he told me. The guy spontaneously came up to him at work and told him that.
I assume he thought that was odd.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. I never met the guy before.
Coming up on the record.
I don't care if someone thinks badly of me now. I mean, that's really... I really don't care about that anymore. What I care about is that a lot of stuff that's going on that's just wrong.
He says it was not any fun, but that he learned some important lessons while he was locked up.
What was it like for you in jail?
Yeah, it wasn't, I mean, they treated me really well there when I was there. I mean, all the people there were great. Also, you know, the security guards and everyone was really, really supportive, really good. But, I mean, of course, it's not fun to be in jail. I mean, you know, you don't have your, you know, you don't have your freedom to walk, to do what you want to do. I mean, now you take things that you probably took for granted in the past. Like, you know, I had so much time to just think about everything and think about life and, you know, everything that you were doing, that it was, you know, not right, that it was, you know, wrong. And I mean, now those things that you took for granted, walks on the beach or walks in the park or talk show with your friends. I mean, now when I have the chance to do stuff like that, I look at it in a better way. I mean, life's super, super fragile. I mean, it's, you know, I look at life in a way different way now, and now I just want to live every day, you know, to its fullest and just, you know, you see how you know, important life really is. You had a long time to think about what you did was wrong. You shouldn't have, you know, lying to the police was wrong, stupid, just, oh. And, you know, everything that you did, you know, I had a long time to think about all my friends and about my girlfriend. I mean, I had a girlfriend at the time, too. I mean, you know, you got to think about all that stuff, and you're like, you know, what are you doing? Because it was a normal thing for us to do, with, you know, go to our friends, go to the beach, talk to American tourists, you know, then go out with them and have a good time. And, you know, nothing ever bad has ever happened. I mean, it's happened probably 20 times and nothing's ever gone wrong. And, I mean, it's just something that, it's, everyone wants to find out what happened. And I think people need to find out what happened for everyone's sake. You know, just to get this closed with and get this moved on with. And I mean, I don't care if someone thinks badly of me now. I mean, that's really, I really don't care about that anymore. What I care about is that a lot of stuff that's going on that's just wrong. I mean, you can't go on and boycott an island. With me, that's super wrong. I mean, people like Jamie Skeeters, who take a tape someone without them knowing, and go there and actually edit a tape in a way that is someone saying something they didn't say. That's sick. That's something you can't. I mean, why would you go and set someone up for something? You know, why would you go and do that? And that's not even normal.
Thank you for being with us tonight. Now, we promised you we would show you every second of our interview with Jeroen van der Sloot, and that's exactly what we're going to do. Tomorrow night, we will show you the final installment. Jeroen will tell you what happened when he was sued a lawsuit by Natalie's family, and he will answer the allegation that he's a sexual predator. Have you ever been accused by a girl or something?
Never. I mean, you can talk to any girl I've ever been with, and they could say I always treated them in the right way. I mean, I never laid a finger on a girl without her or her wanting to. I've never done anything like that before.
And check out our blog at GretaWire.com for exclusive information about this show you can't get anywhere else. And while you're there, make sure you vote in tonight's online poll. We want to see if this interview has changed your mind about Jeroen van der Sloot.